This morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, what's in your life? What's in your life? And I was thinking as I was driving to church this morning, the visitors that have been here the last 2 weeks and this week is getting a full spectrum of my preaching. 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, it was a hard, loud sermon. Last week, I preached about love. And this week, I'm going to go back to my roots. I learned to preach in junior church, and I always like to illustrate my messages. And so I have an illustrated message this morning, and I need some help. And I'm going to ask Daniel and Dave and David if you three would come. And Steve, since you're here, if you would stay. And then Dick, if you would come. And Brian, if you would come. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And John, I need you to come too, if you would. And Brother Leonard, if you would bring that stuff up here to me. And we'll get started on this this message. If you would just give me that right there. Thank you. Yeah, you stay up here too. And if you would, give all these guys, except for David down there on the end, a bowl and a spoon. Okay? Now, I'll keep this for now. All right, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." One of the greatest gifts that God gives to us is life. The French philosopher Descartes, And I was reading a book about him a few weeks ago. He was thinking about the meaning of life, and he locked himself in an oven, a big bakery oven. It wasn't lit or anything, but he spent 3 days and three nights in that oven without eating, without drinking, without any sleep, thinking about life. And after 3 days, he came out and he said this, "I think, therefore I am." And I thought to myself, oh, the guy's got it backwards. It should be, "I am, therefore I think." And to have life is a wonderful thing. And to know that we have life is a wonderful thing. And to know that that life was given to us by God is a wonderful thing. And to know that He has a plan for each person as an individual is a wonderful thing. The psalmist said in Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice," or "we will rejoice and be glad in it." And I want you to think about it today, this very day, God is working the plan for your life. All the experiences that you'll have today, all the activities that you'll do today, all the encounters that you'll have are all designed by God as part of the plan for your life. And each of us, each of our lives are different. They're unique. They're even peculiar, as the Bible uses the word. And in each of our life, there's mixed some things. So we're going to let Brother Leonard represent God this morning, and I want him to give to each one of these guys a little life, okay? And as he's doing that, I want to point out that, again, each of our lives are different. And God gives to each one of us life, but what is mixed in with that life are different things. You see, my life, the things that's mixed in with the life that I have, is different than the things that are mixed in with Brother Cliff's life, different than are mixed in with Brother Jim's life. And we all have different things that are mixed in with our life. Now, I have some things this morning that we're going to mix with this life. And I'm going to give these to Brother Leonard because he's playing God. And just for now, just set them on that table. We have some vitamin D white milk, all right, to mix with life. We have some vitamin D, oh no, we have some low-fat chocolate milk to mix with life. We have some Nestle's pink milk to mix with life. We have some grape juice to mix with life. We have some Diet Verner's to mix with life. And then we have my favorite, buttermilk to mix with life. Now, you say, I know all these guys were wondering, who's going to get the buttermilk? You'll just have to wait and see. Now, how do these things get into our life? Well, there are three ways that things come into our life. The first way is we choose things to come into our life. Now, John, since you're probably the oldest, we're going to give you your choice. Of all those things over there that are mixed with life, which one would you like? Hurry, I only got 10 minutes, man. The vitamin D milk. Okay, Brother Leonard, would you give him the vitamin D milk? Open it up and pour a little bit into his life. Would you? And Brother Dick, you're probably the second oldest. Which would you like mixed with your life? The chocolate milk. All right, I'll help Brother Leonard out, and we'll pour a little bit of this into Brother Dick's bowl. All right? As soon as you get that mixed in with your life, take a bite, would you, and tell me how it tastes. Good? Good? Brother Dick? Good. All right, good. And the things that we choose in our life, the things that we choose, sometimes turn out good. For example, we chose our spouse. We heard last night at a choir banquet, one of the men in our church chose his spouse when he was 10 years old. Actually gave her an engagement ring. But it turns out it was his sister's, and he had to get it back and give it back to him. But some of you that have been married for 30, 40, 50 plus years, you made a good choice and got something good in your life when you picked your spouse. And your marriage is the joy of your life. You got to pick your job. And many of you are very happy in your job. And so those things can be represented by these two guys that got the first choice, and they chose something that went in their life. Now, there's a second way that things get mixed in our life, and that is somebody else chooses for us. And I think of children and how their parents choose things for them. And I'm going to let Dave pick for David and Daniel. And I want you to be good, all right? I want you to pick the best of what's left, all right? So if you were going to pick something to put in Daniel's bowl of life, what would you pick, my brother Dave?
Tall, pink bottle.
Verner's?
No.
The pink milk, all right? So Brother Leonard, would you get some of that pink milk and pour that into Daniel's life there? And what would you pick for Dave?
Buttermilk.
The buttermilk?
What is that?
That's buttermilk. But don't you think grape juice or Verner's might taste better? Huh? Buttermilk? Boy, I'm glad you're not my dad. All right. Now, take a little bite of that, guys, and tell me what you think. Would you? How's it taste, Daniel? Kind of good? All right. Dave, how's yours taste? Okay, that buttermilk, good. And so there are things that other people choose that go into our life. Some of them are pretty good. Some of them may not be so good. But other people choose for us. And then there's some things that come into our life a third way, and that's where God chooses for us. For example, God chose our parents. God chose our children. God chooses the health that we have in our life. And I know we can impact it whether we take care of ourselves or not, but God chooses. So, Brother Leonard, there's two things left. You're playing God, so you got to give one to Steve and one to Brian. Okay? So, in fact, you can give them anything that's on the table that you would like. But these two guys, what would you give them? All right, so Steve, you're going to get some grape juice in your life. All right? And what are you going to give Brian? Oh, you're going to give Brian some Verner's. Oh, that should be good in his life. All right, now you guys take a little bite of that and see what you think. Steve? Yours good? Brian? Not what you choose, eh? Okay, so let me just summarize here. From the three different places in our life, we choose, somebody else chooses for us, or God chooses for us. Four of these guys are okay. I mean, when David went like this, I think he was probably not being truthful. But Daniel with the pink milk, and Steve with the grape juice, and of course John and Dick with the white and chocolate milk, they probably taste pretty good. But the buttermilk and the Verner's are probably not so hot in life. And there are things in our life that may not be quite so hot. I mean, some of you here this morning have a health problem you're fighting, that you're dealing with. And if you had your choice, you wouldn't have that in your life. And you've gone to God and asked Him to fix it. And that's what we do sometimes when something distasteful comes into our life. We go to God and we say, God, hey, I'd like you to fix this. I'd like you to change it. I'd like you to make it right. And we go to God and say that. Others have maybe your marriage is not the best. Maybe it's on the rocks. And you may ask God, God, I need some help in my marriage. Maybe your children have disappointed you. There's all sorts of things that come into our life that if we could change, we would. I mean, we would not put them in our cereal representing our life because they taste bad. And here's what we do sometimes. We say, hey, God, I'd like to start all over. I'd like a new bowl of life to start all over. And so let's say we have David, why don't you move down here closer to Brother Leonard. And Brian, you come over here and you guys back up just a little bit. You stand right here next to God. These two guys got the, get your bowl there, Dave. These two guys got the bad mix with their life, so to speak. And they would go to God and they would say, hey, God, this is not fair. Look at all these other four guys. They got good stuff in their life. Why am I stuck with this bubbly Verner's and this sour buttermilk? I hope it's not sour, Dave. I mean, I just bought it Friday. But this buttermilk, why am I? I'd like to start over. And God says, no. You can't start over. I mean, I don't know if you've had this feeling, but there have been people that said, hey, I'm just going to get in my car, I'm going to drive it till it runs out of gas, and when it runs out of gas, I'm going to get out and start over. Life does not work that way. In fact, sometimes when God lets us start over, let me show you what happens. I tell you, Brother Leonard, let's let Brian start over. Let's give him some new life. Keep your spoon. And here's what God does. He said, okay, we're going to let you start over. And you know what God does? He gets the same bottle. Here's a guy who says, hey, my marriage is not working out. I'm going to leave my wife. My kids are all bad. I'm going to disown them, get a bunch of new kids. So he goes and starts over. And you know what God does? He pours the same thing back into the bowl. You know why? Because God has those things in your life because He wants you to learn a lesson. And we go to God and we say, hey, it's not fair. Everybody else has good things in their life. Why am I stuck with this bad tasting stuff in my life? And we want God to fix it. And we want God to change it. But that's not how God works. Let me show you how God works. I only got a one-point message this morning. I just want to get across one truth to you this morning, how God works when we have something distasteful in our life. It's illustrated in the life of Paul that we read about there in the book of 2 Corinthians. God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh. It buffeted him. He fought against it every single day. And the Bible says that Paul went to God and three times asked Him to take that thorn away. And I'm sure Paul gave God some good reasons to take it away. He said, hey, I could be a better preacher. I could be a better teacher. I could be a better missionary. I could do everything so much better if you just take this thorn away from me. And God says, not going to do it. Not going to do it. And God said this, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Hey, folks, that's what grace is. Grace is God working in our life to sort of change our taste bud. Grace is God working in our life and saying, hey, I gave you this for a purpose. It's for a good purpose. Now learn from it. That's what Paul did. You know, the next verses we read, he said, hey, I quit asking God to take it away. I glory in my infirmities. I take pleasure in my distresses and my persecutions and all the things that God's put in my life. Okay, now let me get down here. I'm going to show you how it works. I'm going to illustrate it again. And God doesn't always work this way, but sometimes he does. Now, both David and Brian have something distasteful in their bowls. I mean, Brian doesn't like the Verners, and David doesn't like the buttermilk. So here, I'm going to play God for now. Oh, no, here, Brother Runner, come here. You play God. And you say, hey, David, if I gave you $20, would that make that bowl of life taste better?
Sure.
All right, give him the 20 bucks. Hey, Brian, I know you don't like that Verners, but if I gave you, God talking, if I gave you $20, would that make it taste better?
Huh?
Well, it'd be all right? All right. Now, take a bite of that life. How's it taste? Good, hey? Brian? How's it taste? No different. No different? Give him another 10, Brother Leonard, see if it helps. Tastes good?
No,
you liked yours. Here's another 5. See what it takes now.
Perfect.
All right. Now, a little funny illustration, a little simple illustration. But that's exactly how God works in our life. We all have things in it, in our life, that we would change if we could. They're distasteful. We look at other people and we say, well, they don't have it this bad. I mean, they got good stuff in their life. I mean, they actually like it. Why do I have this bitter thing in my life? And God says, hey, I'm going to make it taste better. I'm not going to take it away, but I'm going to give you more of my grace. I'm going to give you more, and his grace is sufficient. Here you had two guys that didn't want to eat that cereal at all. Now, I'll tell you what. Here's what we'll do. I'll have Brother Leonard give you another fresh bowl, and we'll put some new life in it. You don't have to do it, Brother Leonard. We don't have time. But we'll put some new life in it, and then we'll let you take your pick of what's on the table. But you got to give me my money back. What do you think? They want to keep it. I mean, he wants the buttermilk. And he wants the Verners. And by the way, when God gives us his grace and changes our taste buds, so to speak, we will be just like Paul. We don't want to give it back either. We want to keep it because it's drawn us that much closer to God. All right, thank you guys. You can just put your bowls around the stage and go sit down. No, that's yours. That's yours. No, that's yours. No, that's yours. You're going to mess up my illustration. No, David, you got to take it. Take it. Take it. Now listen, I'm almost done. The greatest act of grace that God gave us was when he sent Jesus to die for us. You see, I'm a sinner, and so are all of you. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a penalty for that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I deserve to die. I deserve not just physical death that we think about, but spiritual death. I deserve, because of my sin, just like you did, to be separated from God forever. But when Jesus went to Calvary, he went to pay the price of my sin. Every sin that I will ever commit, every sin that I've ever committed, was put on the Son of God when he died on Calvary. And the same is true for each of you. Every sin that you've ever committed, every sin that you will ever commit in the future, God placed on his Son when he sent him to Calvary. And if you'll receive him this morning, the Bible says that he'll make you part of the family. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you have no idea what we're talking about. You may have some tough things in your life, and you're facing them all by yourself because you're not part of the family of God. You can change that in the next few moments. The Bible says we come just like a little child with childlike faith, believing that when Christ died, he died for our sins, and trusting that to make us right with God. And if you've never done that, this morning, December 5th, 2004, would be a wonderful time to get things right with God. You don't do it. And listen, I'm not asking you to join the church this morning. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. You don't get it because we took communion this morning. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's the only way that you can become part of the family of God, is to receive Christ. And if you haven't done it, I'd invite you to come in just the next few moments. Make that decision for him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the truth that's in your word. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that in the next few moments they would decide for him. They would decide to ask him to be their Savior. Father, bless the invitation. If there's those here that have other needs in their life, that maybe they just need to come to this altar and spend a few moments alone with you, I pray you'd help them to do that. If there's folks here that you're talking to about joining the church or getting baptized, I pray, Father, that they would come as well. Help us to listen as the Holy Spirit speaks. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.